Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. With your host, your Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves live at all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
All right. Hey, this is definitely what's happening with Mark Jackson. Oh, I'm still hanging in here. Right, this is a little under the weather, but we're going to try to do this out anyway. We got a lot of things to talk about. I haven't been able to really promote my show like I really need to. But that's okay because it's still in the infancy. It's only been on a couple of weeks, so eventually I'll have a bunch of listeners and people calling in and we can really get down to some serious business. You know, I like to always like to get little clips and things from the old school hip hop that really mean a lot, you know, and play stuff like that so we can get the message. So, for those of you who don't know, this clip is from, let's see, I think like 1991. It's from the Ghetto Boys. That's with Larry Hoover. If you don't know who Larry Hoover was, well, he's a kingpin out of Chicago. And I don't know if he was disciples or El Rookins or whatever, but he was a gang kingpin out of Chicago. And once they finally got him, and give him that life sentence, he kind of started, you know, changing his rhetoric and seeing things in a different light, you know, realizing that it's not always about gangster, and, you know, matter of fact, it's never really about that. You know, but, you know, the record industry basically brought that in. You know, that's what they wanted, so they promoted gangsta rap. They got rid of positive conscious lyrics and political rap and rhetoric. And they made it cool to be a thug and a gangster and smoke and drink and carry a gun and just all the ignorant stuff that has no real place in society. So let me see if I can get into a little bit of this while I catch my breath, so I'm going to bring it in. Here we go.
Hello?
Well, let me speak to Jay.
Who is?
It's Larry Hoover.
Hello, Chief.
Stumbled across a memo on his desk stating that. Hello? Hey, Jay. What's happening, man?
How you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Still fighting this frame.
How everything going?
Oh, it's rough on a black man.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of different things, but you know, ain't nothing like hearing it straight out the horse's mouth, you know.
Well, the truth is, niggas in the street got to get together all over the nation. I'm talking, we got to get together in Chicago, we got to get together in L.A., we got to get together in Houston, we got to get together in New York, we got to get together in Detroit. Niggas got to get together all over this nation. I'm talking about not the regular people in the street. I'm talking about street niggas. I'm talking about niggas that call themselves gangsters. Real gangsters go to the polls.
Well, you know, we the one to make the difference, too.
Exactly. That's what's going to make the difference. You know, that's that sleeping giant. That's that 40% apathetic vote within our black community.
Uh-huh.
That's who we need to arise. That's who we need to awaken. And see, they scared of me because I'm trying to wake that sleeping giant.
Uh-huh.
See, these young brothers, they pay some attention to what I said because I'm one of them. You know, I've been where they've been. You know, I come from where they come from.
Uh-huh.
I'm where they're going to if they don't watch out what they're doing. So.
I see. That is worth, oh, a million words, you know. I mean, he said flat out, real gangsters go to the polls, have an understanding, somewhat of an understanding of politics, and literally tries to, you know, get out here and make a difference. See, there's a group of young people that, you know, to me, I don't know how we can reach these young brothers that just, you know, they don't care. You know what I'm saying? They have no sympathy for life and other people's property. They just do what they want and they just run amok. And it's really time out on that. I mean, you know, I wanted to play this other little hookup. You know, this from Kumo D, this Rise and Shine, because, you know, as he said, 400 years, you know, 400 years, blood, sweat, and tears, you know, and it's rough. You know, we got step one on every day that we need to address. And then the craziest thing is, you know, right in our community, right in our hoods, right where we live, you know, the black-on-black violence is out of control, you know. It's out of control. And, you know, we don't, even, you know, make a fuss when Ray Ray kills Boo Man over nothing, you know. And a lot of times we just don't, it's like we just don't care. And it's just unbelievable because then the minute we set up there and, you know, one of ours gets killed, you know, by a black man or whoever, just if somebody in the black community gets killed by someone of a different race, and, you know, we want to go nuts on that. Like, we're not having that. But we accept the fact that if we shoot and kill each other every day, man, and it's like no big deal. You know, I mean, like last week, I got thousands of examples, but I'm just going to talk recently. Last week, there were 5 to 6 murders in the city of Detroit within a 24-hour period. 5 to 6 murders, not shootings, not accidental. I mean, murder. And it is totally crazy. It's like, how do we sit back and allow the bloodshed to turn the streets red and the whole time we're sitting up here, you know, acting like, oh, you know, it's okay. Brother's going to work it out. You know, brother's going to work it out. It's like, man, we don't work out nothing. Okay? We ain't going to work out nothing. Because it's too rough, you know. Yeah, you know, society just accepts violence like it's just the thing to do and the thing, you know, like there's no problem with it. And it's like, how can we sit up here and get angry about what's going on down in Sanford? And we done set up here and created this, you know, and we just let it go, you know, and nobody really cares. I'm going to go to a song. My other songs didn't come in, but I'm going to go to a song right quick so I can clear my throat. And then we're going to go ahead and get personal because get personal, because number one, I wasn't born in Michigan, but I was raised in Michigan, you know, and I lived in, you know, some of the toughest areas in the state, you know. And my time in Detroit wasn't too bad until the last couple of years. Really, that last year when they, you know, the young boys started pulling the date moves, and they was, you know, they just started breaking in homes, you know. Breaking in people's homes. They come up to your house early in the morning, because they've been watching you. And they bang on the door, And when nobody answers the door, then they go around to the back, bust the window and crack no smile, going on off in the crib, and get whatever they can get in the amount of time that they have. And sometimes they have quite a bit of time because, you know, when they got me, they had enough time to set up there. And, you know, the guy called his boy He brought his vehicle, backed it all the way up in my driveway. And, they just started loading up the car, man. You know, I carried us out a 55-inch television, you know. They stole my big TV, stole the kids. We sat up there and stole my gun, my 12 gauge, and just whatever they could get, you know. And they really had time because they knew we was gone. We were gone. They already scoped it out. Mondays and Wednesdays were school days for me, so they already know. And those days we're gonna be gone all day. All day. And so they got us. They got me in that morning. Nobody seen nothing, of course. You know that, but the good thing about it was, you know, we were legitimate. And we had insurance. We were covered, so we got everything back, but it definitely was a shock. It was something that really angered me for a little while. Now, I said, until I had to put it in perspective and just let it go, because it happens. And I ain't the only one, so I had to let it go. But it was always not easy. But anyway, I let it go. And some things are going on, you know. So we moved. We left Detroit and said, forget this. And went on here and made it to a rental, rented it out to a guy that didn't work out at all. Guy never really paid rent or anything on time. Just was a mess. So finally, I had to get rid of him. And it's so sad when you try to help somebody and, you know, you can't help them because, you know, some other stuff. Yeah, you know. So anyway, it was, that's how that went down. Let me see here. Let me go into the stop the violence right quick. You guys can tell I'm a little subdued, but
we all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
bugging. It's one of two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you can unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause, the way we live is positive. We don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 when it's shot, who's to blame? Headlines, front page, the rap, the name. MC's the right here to say the bottom line. The black on black crime is way before our time.
Tripping from life with a knife.
Cause that jail and gotta go. Cause you could do crime and get paid today, and tomorrow you're behind bars in the worst way. Far from your family, cause you're locked away. Now tell me, do you really think crime pays? Aiming on taking what your brother has?
You little sucker,
you talking all that jazz.
It's time to stand together in a unity. Cause if not, then you will soon to be self-destroyed, unemployed. C-rap race will be lost without a trace or a clue. But what to do is stop the violence and kick the science down the road that we call eternity, where knowledge is formed and you learn to be self-sufficient, independent. To teach the East is what rap intended, but society wants to invade. So do not walk this path that they laid it.
Self-destruction.
Right to the heart of the situation, you know. It speaks right to the core of what we're dealing with, man, you know. You know, we got so much violence out here. And people are so desensitized, yeah. People are so desensitized to the violence that happens in the black community that, you know, we really just don't, it's like we don't really even care unless it is someone that we know. Unless it's a family member or somebody, one of your homies, somebody really close to you. Other than that, you know, we're not trying to hear that. That's the biggest. That's the biggest shame of it all. Let's see. Okay, yeah, I was talking about Detroit. And Detroit's just our pillar. It's always kind of been like that, but it's really, you know, off the hook now because of, you know, unemployment and just hopelessness and people just giving up and feeling like they have no future, they have nothing. And so it makes, you know, it makes everything worse because now, I was saying earlier, we have been living in that house on the east side of Detroit for 10 years. All of a sudden, things started to really go down. And the next thing you know, the niggas was praying on us and they jumped, broke in the house. So we said, well, we're leaving, you know, we're leaving. Forget this, man. Detroit is jacked, we're leaving. So my wife is from Eastern Michigan. And so, you know, it's a smaller community, if not the big city, rigmarole and all of that. And so we figured we'd go out there, you know, and that's where she grew up. So if you go out there, it would be a lot less violent and maybe even less, bloodshed and gunplay. But, you know, as long as you got these brothers that sit around all day, they don't do anything. You know, they sit up there on the front porch, you know, and they drink brew, and they drink liquor, and they smoke their blunts, and, you know, they harass people. And they kind of know who to harass and who not to, but sometimes they end up harassing the wrong person, and the repercussions come back real tough. And so that's basically what happened one night. I don't know what the deal was, but I know these cats, they set up there and had a big, you know, falling out with some other cats. And them dudes went, got their guns, they came back, and they were actually kind of smart. I guess you could say in a devilish way because, you know, they didn't do a drive-by. Although it really doesn't matter because, you know, as we used to say, bullets ain't got nobody's name on them. When that bullet come out that barrel, you know, it could hit who you're aiming at or it could hit who you're not aiming at. It could go anywhere. So, these cats come back. And, you know, I already talked about the gas station at the corner of the street where all the crime and all the bullshit originates and it marinates right up there. But anyway, these cats, man, they have to friend and arguing can on, and the niggas went and got their They went and got their guns and stuff. They came back. And they caught the guys off guard because I guess they rolled by the house. And then he turned around and went around the corner and parked their car, and then they came back and got them shot right at the corner. Now, this is a middle house where the guys that they were shooting at, it's right in the middle of the block. And we're like two houses over from them. One of the neighbors right next to them. So here they come. It's a nice warm night. So, you know, the windows was open. The windows were open and everything. And you could hear, you could hear needles drop. So all of a sudden, we heard all the all the gunshots. And it seemed like it was at least, I know it was two different guns, but it seemed like it might have been three different cats. And they were shooting at the one boy took off running. He took off running towards our house. He comes running down this way, cut through the driveway and jumped and says, he's running. Of course, and he don't want to get killed. And he didn't talk to all this stuff, so he's running. And so instead of them just shooting straight at the house where the guys was at, they were shooting at them, at least at him. So their aim came right down toward our crib with him. And I don't even know if his grandmother's house got hit at all, but the house next door to us got hit about four or five times. And our house got hit about five or six times. And it was so weird because, when the smoke cleared, I told my wife, I said, hurry up, let's go check on your mom because her bedroom was in the front. And we get in there and, she didn't fall on the floor because she was so startled. But I noticed that a bullet came through the window frame, the soft edge of the window frame. Went right through the blind and stuck right in the wall in the bedroom right next to the closet, I'm like, damn. This is crazy. We got bullets coming in the crib. And it was just, it was a trip. The police came. They already knew what was up, basically. They knew if it was something like that, it was because of them cats at that house and everything. So it was late at night, so we couldn't do too much as far as evidence. But the next day, we found some spent shells and got a cell phone and all of that. But, police don't care. They feel like, hey, write it off as gang related. Nobody was killed. Nobody was hurt. So we get it. No investigation. We just forget it. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. We can't even, some people are just shooting at random, man, and anybody could have got hit and killed that, that night. God was on his job, and, no one, thank God, no one was shot, no one was injured. But, the whole thing is just like, know, why, you know, what's the purpose of that? You know, I mean, I really don't think that, you know, these guys' beef is that serious. But you gotta really sit up there and try to kill each other over nothing. They're literally trying to kill each other over nothing, man, and it's crazy. So I'm just like, you know, what are we gonna do, man? You know, because I guess I'm throwing bullets the next day. I found bullets all, you know, stuck in the gutter and the eavesdrop and all upside the house and, you know, spent shells and everything. And it's just, you know, it's just like, it's unbelievable that, you know, we don't, you know, nobody don't care about life enough to set up and try to make things, you know, more safe in the hood. You know, so that's an age-long dilemma. And I said, man, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to solve that problem, you know. I really don't. I mean, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, I thought I had a, my hand on the pulse of, you know, the hood or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But these young cats out here, man, they don't care. Yeah. They have no respect. They don't even understand respect and loyalty. So they don't give a damn about no, you know, they don't care about OGs and, you know, and, you know, calling for a ceasefire. You know what I'm saying? So that, you know, we can try to heal in the hood, man. They don't care. And so whenever you have people that just don't care and they're living so low, and then the whole thing is, you don't even know what my life is all about. And so they just doing that thing, man. And they don't really even care about trying to, you know, work it out or anything like that. So, you know, I was just saying, you know, it's a fantasy, but I really believe that, you know, back in the late 80s and the early 90s, the hip-hoppers had their finger on the pulse of what was going on in the hood, you know what I'm saying? And they could, you know, they could call for a ceasefire, and they could call for, you know, them clips to take a break, going to try to figure out what the hell is really going on in the kitchen. But now, they don't care, man. Nobody cares, man. It's just like, you do your thing, I'll do mine. And if you get out of my way and really, you know, make things ugly, then it's going to be a problem. And they knew what they were doing, though. Gotta give it to them. White man is a very smart preacher. You know, when they wiped out, you know, conscious rap, political rap, you know, they just wiped it out in order to create a whole new, because they would rather create a whole new environment. They were about to create a whole new, frame of mind as far as, what's going on. So, instead of talking about having fun and talking about politics of the matter, voting and voter registration, and folks are going to work it out, the doggone Million Man March, stuff like that. So that's right, I'm going to as soon as I start getting feeling a lot better. But I'm really put out a full tilt promotion on myself so I can get, feedback and dialogue and can, we can communicate and kick the Louis Bobo and see what the rhetoric is, what the flavor of the rhetoric is in the hood and how we're going to deal with it because, as long as we're, as long as we're, as long as we don't care about the brother man next to us, it ain't never gonna stop, they had Cat like Pac, And, he was amazing, but he was torn between righteous and gangster, He was torn right out because he knew that, at that point, righteous wasn't making no money, But gangster was bringing in all the loot, Gangster was bringing in all the money. And so, their beef just got way out of control. Him and old Biggie, what I'm saying? They had a whole East Coast and a whole West Coast tripping on each other off just, off nothing. And it was crazy how two guys that used to be cool, used to hang out, used to run together to create this war. And basically what it was, a war. A lot of people died and, they don't care about solving the murders of a black man, so, black man getting murdered and like, oh well. Like the movie that Pac was in. This is right off as gang related. And keep on pushing. It's gang related, so put it up like a drive by whatever. Throw it in that category. That way we don't have to even worry about no long investigation wasting money trying to find out who really did it. They don't care who did it. And that's the messed up. That's the biggest part that is just, a shame is just the fact that, these cats don't even care about who got a plan, who got a plot, and who got shot. So, I need to take a break, but I think I'm just going to keep on pushing because we ain't got a few more minutes left anyway. 15 minutes, and I'm done for the day. And I don't know, man. Like I said, I guess one day we're going to work it out, but right now, it's hard to see it. Hard to see. The plan and the solution. And the new cats, they're not, you know, they're not even concerned. You know, their concern is their check. Their concern is how many cars they got, how much bling they got, and how much money they can bring in. That's what they're concerned about. They're concerned about the bottom line. They don't have any moral connection to the people, you know. It's like, oh, well, you know, like old Breed and Posse, and I got to get mine, you got to get yours. I got to get mine. You gotta get yours, you know. And sad that we can feel that way sometimes, but that's the way it goes sometimes, you know. We don't care. It's like, you get yours, I get mine, and then, you know, let's figure the rest out. Because, I'm trying to hear that, so I thought I was going to have some more stuff, man, but my computer is moving slow, and so I should just run this Ghetto Fantasy by the Ghetto Boys. Yeah, I'm going to run that like quick. That'll give me a break. Let me just kick back. So let me run this thing again. You guys can try to figure out where he's coming from. It's not really hard, but,
hello?
Let me speak to Jay.
Who is this?
It's Larry Hoover.
Hello, Chief.
Stumbled across a memo on his desk stating that...
Hello? Hey, Jay. What's happening, man?
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Still fighting this frame.
Uh-huh. How's everything going?
It's rough on a black man.
Huh. I've been hearing a lot of different things, but ain't nothing like hearing it straight out the horse's mouth, you know?
Well, the truth is, niggas in the street got to get together all over the nation. I thought we got to get together in Chicago, we got to get together in L.A., we got to get together in Houston, we got to get together in New York, we got to get together in Detroit. Niggas got to get together all over this nation. I'm talking about not the regular people in the street. I'm talking about street niggas. I'm talking about niggas that call themselves gangsters. Real gangsters go to the polls.
Well, we don't want to make the difference, too.
Exactly. That's what's going to make the difference. You know, that's that sleeping giant. That's that 40% apathetic vote within our black community.
Uh-huh.
That's who we need to arise. That's who we need to awaken. And see, they scared of me because I'm trying to wake that sleeping giant.
Uh-huh.
See, these young brothers, they pay attention to what I said because I'm one of them. You know, I've been where they've been. You know, I come from where they come from.
Uh-huh.
I'm where they're going to if they don't watch out what they're doing. So.
Ghetto boy wanting that life, G. Coming up in a house full of negativity. Everybody drinking, everybody smoking, everybody cooking and fussing like hell. I'm hoping that I can raise up out of this mess. I'm too damn young to be distressed, and no, yes, I went and got what I thought was mine. This the crime, the time, and a motherfucker didn't whine. But fuck that shit, the jail house ain't for me. I got places to go and people to see. Wanna make millions and live to see my grandchildren. That's the motherfucking dream that I'm building. Anybody ain't with that can step the fuck back. It's for one, but a poor one, never crap. I used to dream about getting that cash and buy my mama a crib, and I did before she passed. The good life has no equivalent. It ain't a fantasy no more because I'm living it.
One out of 100, you know what I mean?
it addresses our situation and our dilemma. You know, what's happening in the hood? What's really going on? Nobody wants to deal with that. And that's the main thing. It's really just the same. Just the fact that, you know, like I said, if it's not us, if it's not our people, not our cup, just on the other side, we don't care, you know. And that's that. That's that, you know, that's that, don't care mentality. But it's just, you know, well, none of my people, so I don't do it. But there is your people. Because I couldn't get the other songs in, but I'll get them next week. But, like my man said, you know, we're all in the same game. You know, and we're all in the same game, you know, but, you know, ego and all this other stuff comes into the equation and screws everything up. We're all in the same game, man. We all come from the same hookup. And nobody wants to really, really put down the guns and the weapons and say, you know what, we don't really even need all of that. We can still make money in the hood. We don't have to fight and kill each other over turf. Because that turf ain't none of yours no way. You ain't bought no land. You don't own no acres. You know what I'm saying? They wish they would come out and give 40 acres of the new. They said that just to, you know what I'm saying, just to feed people. But, man. You imagine if they said it now, you know, and they were really doing that. You know, that's why we need reparations. You know, because we've been through a lot. You know, they changed our whole life mentality and everything. And so, you know, we could just come up with a whole new thing. You know, it would be great, but, you know, it's never going to be like that. Because no matter what, you got yours, I got mine. They're not the same, so as close as we can come, we're not going to be on the same team. And that's the double truth, Ruth. So, let's say a prayer for Trayvon Martin's family. Let's say a prayer for all the inner cities that are going through all